I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to The Memo. It's Monday, December 21st. I'm Derek Russell, joined by Lauren Wood today. Lauren,
hi, Derek. How are you doing? I'm good.
Good.
I'm really good.
Are you? It's Christmas week.
I know.
You like Christmas.
I love Christmas.
What do you like about Christmas
the
most?
Just like being around all of my friends and family. Everyone,
well, you're leaving. That's right.
Everyone I love in Michigan. Shout out.
You don't love anybody here.
No, I do. I do.
I do.
But totally. Everyone, yeah, you know, I grew up with and my friends and family.
When do you go home?
Tuesday night. It's a 12-hour drive. So I'm driving Tuesday night. I'm leaving, going to Kentucky, and then I'm driving the rest of the way. I know it's really off topic, but I'm taking my dog with me.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, well, I'm taking my dog with me, and
I don't talk about yourself like that.
They have a pet friendly hotel. Oh. Yeah, so I can bring my dog. I'm so excited about it.
Just the two of you.
Yep.
Going, you and the dog.
Yep.
On the open road.
Yep.
That's a road trip movie. If I've ever seen one, it'd be fine.
I'm like, I just have to get 12 hours and then I'm...
And then you're there.
I'm just going to download a bunch of podcasts and probably an audiobook.
You can download the memo at memo.djournal.com.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's good.
That and the next episode of Serial.
That won't be till Thursday.
Well, I didn't listen to last week's.
And I bet they won't
release
it on Christmas Eve.
I didn't listen to last week's. Oh, so I have one saved up.
Listen to.
Mm-hmm. I listened to number one. And it ended with, I don't want to say
it. Yeah, don't say.
But I was like, what?
With the ending, I was like, oh,
that's such the like most Sarah Koenig thing ever.
I think it's safe to say.
You think so?
Not for people who haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah. But seriously, it's the most Sarah Koenig thing ever. I'm like,
no,
she
because
just...
you've already said it yourself. Because I know what Lauren's
gonna say. Oh, that. Okay, I didn't know that's how it ended.
I'm Sarah Koenig, and I'm calling the Taliban.
Calling the Taliban. Okay, most ridiculous thing ever. Okay. But anyways, yeah, I have that to listen to.
I didn't realize that was how it ended. I wanted two or three before I start because I know I'll get to the end of the first hour,
and you want to listen to the next one. Yep. So. Yep.
And then after I just realized Thursday's Christmas Eve, I bet they won't release
probably
it on Christmas
not.
Eve.
I bet they will.
Yeah.
They may because the next week's New Year's Eve, and I can't see them skipping 2 weeks in a row.
No.
Yeah. There were a couple of hot, like.
I mean, they've had.
Season
these are
one,
already filmed or, see, like,
it,
recorded.
It doesn't matter because, like, season one was on a Thanksgiving, and then they didn't. They were like, bye. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Killing us. Well,
I know. But
you have the memo to look forward to today.
Yes, I do.
And at least Wednesday. We won't be here with a Thursday episode either. You're not really putting your coffee on your phone.
No, I just don't know where to put my coffee.
Which is not on your phone. Anyway, but your
just
phone.
Right on.
That's
Ray
Shrimmer. Ray Shrimmer.
Yep.
Speaking of Ray Shrimmer, nice segue. Thank you for that. I love a good segue on this show. You attended the Shrimp Fest.
I stayed for a little bit. I didn't go. I was actually kind of feeling a little under the weather Saturday night, but I knew this was something we needed to cover.
You're homesick?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. And I went for Ray Shrimmer, so I went at 10:30 when they came on at the Bancorp South Arena, and it was a really great crowd. It was pretty full, lots of people there, and the coolest thing is I've covered lots of shows at the arena. This was the most, like, into it audience I've ever seen. People dancing and jumping and, like, getting so hype into it. It was awesome.
Looked like a good time. They had a lot of guests they brought with them.
Uh-huh. Yo
Gotti. It's like 10 people on the list. I mean, no wonder they came out at 10:30.
Mm-hmm. I know. And that's what I think is really cool. They kind of, like, I read Zach's story, which is excellent,
Zach's
by the way.
Zach's story is fantastic.
Yes, you guys all need to read it. But they were like, you know, we're just trying to, like, kind of bring some up-and-coming people. They're going to focus on, like, Mississippi specifically and hoping to see this festival grow. And I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
because I mean,
how often
album
does
right
Tupelo
now,
see anything like this?
Seriously, their album right now is in the top 50 on Rolling Stone. So it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And they're under 20 years old. Well, one's 20, one's 19. Yeah. Like, that's amazing. Yeah. So, And they have a, Shannon Raiders, like, sweatshirt that they wear backstage or something. Yeah.
Tell us some of these quotes that you were going through earlier from Zach's story.
Pure gold quotes. One was like, we made it around the world off 11 tracks, which is awesome. Like, they've gotten to see, like, Australia and New Zealand and London and all these places, like, you know, just from Tupelo. The best one was the Elvis one. Where is it? There it is. Like, coming from Tupelo, that's, like, the city of Tupelo influenced their work significantly. It made us hungry, Swally said. It made us want to work. You never know what to expect from the city, but you know, you see what it's breeding, you know, like your Elvises and your Ray Shremmerds and all these other artists coming out. It's awesome.
Elvis I.
Elvira. Yeah. So I think it's awesome. And it was just a really cool crowd to see, and I hope they said they're kind of going to make this like an annual thing every kind of around December time. So,
well, I made sure to leave enough space in Monday's paper to use some of your wonderful shots. So.
Thanks. Yeah.
Was it full, Lauren?
The arena was in half. Like, it wasn't half the full. House. Yeah, but it was still pretty packed. So
3,500, I think, was the number. I didn't hear
the number, final number, but yeah, it was awesome.
And then yesterday they had more events too, right?
They had a barbecue yesterday, and Jason Shelton, the mayor, gave them a key to the city, and they even like talked about it at the concert and how awesome they thought it was.
Yeah, wow.
So yeah,
good stuff all around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while you're listening to podcasts on the road, Lauren, you can also listen to our sister podcast, Prep Rally and Double Coverage. That's both our high school sport coverage podcast as well as our Ole Miss Mississippi State podcast, and those are available on iTunes as well as you can find them at djournal.com. off of the podcast page.
Yeah, I guess we should note, though, for both of them, I know there's no Prep Rally this week, probably no Prep Rally until after the new year on Brad's out the next couple weeks. I have not heard for sure the schedule for Double Coverage. They may have one coming up sometime before the
bowl. Pre-bowl game, yeah.
But I can't tell you for sure there's one on Thursday. We'll try to find out.
Day bowl, right?
Yeah. I think Mississippi State's is Thursday.
Oh, theirs is earlier.
Wednesday, Thursday, and then Ole Miss and is then, New Year's Day.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. I was just thinking New Year's of Ole Miss. New Year's Day. Mississippi State fans.
But you can get caught up on past episodes.
There you go.
iTunes.
Yeah.
And of course, we've got our news briefs, our today's news memo. You can read more about these stories in your daily journal or at djournal.com.
Our first one we have up is about Kimdichie. The Ole Miss announced Sunday that the star defensive tackle Robert Kimdichie will not play in the All-State Sugar Bowl. That decision abruptly ends a career of the star lineman, who is expected to be a top pick in next spring's NFL draft. The news comes after Kimdichie fell 15 feet, I think that was four stories, out of an Atlanta hotel. He was also charged with possession of marijuana during that incident.
Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant praised changes the State Board of Education made to its new academic standards. The State Board of Education adopted the Common Core standards in 2010 and has since renamed the Mississippi College and Career Ready Standards. During the fall, it allowed the public to provide feedback on the standards in an online forum, and last week it was announced changes that would result from the feedback. Those changes deal with ensuring clarity and that the standards are age-appropriate. Brian called those changes a good start in gathering public input and finally making the process transparent.
Up next, we have the supervisors. Lee County will bid farewell to three long-serving elected officials. With the start of the new year, County Supervisors Bobby Smith and Daryl Rankin and Circuit Clerk Joyce Lofton will leave to office. Together, they have a combined 60 years of experience. The Daily Journal's Michaela Morris has a feature about the three officials in Sunday's paper.
And, of course, new Nettleton Mayor Mem Riley said his first 3 months on the job have been a learning experience. He said, "The biggest surprise for me was just how much money it takes to run a town, even one the size of Nettleton." He told that to our Daily Journal law enforcement reporter William Moore. Also going on to say, even a minor breakdown in the sewer system or a water well can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Read about that in your Daily Journal from this weekend. So, good news all around. Well, we've got Bobby Harrison joining us, our Capitol Bureau reporter, as well as Riley Manning, our religion reporter today. Joining us first, though, Bobby Harrison from Jackson. Bobby, how are you doing today?
All right, Derek, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Tell us about Accelerate Mississippi. This was unveiled Friday afternoon. And is going to look at improving roads and bridges throughout the state.
Yeah, this was a study by the Mississippi Economic Council, the state's Chamber of Commerce, if you will. And for several years, there's been discussions about the current revenue stream for the Department of Transportation is not providing enough money to deal with all the infrastructure needs in the state. And MEC did a study, it was over a year-long study, a bunch of people were involved, and came up with a substantial number of needs, both on the state level and on the local county and city level. And they sort of identified those needs, and they have provided options as far as revenue streams to pay for the needs. Now, of course, Derek, this word, it gets tricky because, you know, the options are essentially tax increases. So that'd be something that will be handed out to the 2016 legislature, and how it ends is anybody's guess.
Yeah. Well, with the Mississippi Economic Council, this plan, I'm sure they've gone all over the state to get different ideals on where to go here, but we're looking at 138 state bridges that can no longer carry the weight that they're originally designed to carry. And that's just, I mean, I imagine that alone is millions right there.
Right, right. Their proposal is essentially the 10-year plan that is $375 million per year. Now, but it's not clear to me whether the Economic Council wants this program to go away in 10 years or that it's, but my guess is they would think that it would just stay in force once it, if it ever passes, and not be a time limited to 10 years or any other amount. And it's, but what they're talking about, what their suggestion is $375 million a year to deal, and $75 million of that would go to the, per year would go to the city and county governments, divvied up for their infrastructure needs, and the rest would go state level for those bridges you identified, you mentioned a while ago. Plus, experts say we're falling so far behind on just routine maintenance just of our highway system, and it's going to catch up at some point. So the money would go for replacing subpar bridges and also to enhance the maintenance of state highways and roads. And they say, and like I said, the experts say that's badly needed. That they say in some places, this is way outside my pay grade, but in some places, because of lack of funds, the Department of Transportation is putting down just sort of rocks, just some type of rocks on state highways that you'd normally see on county roads, because they don't have the money to do the actual paving like they should be doing.
Right. And you mentioned a minute ago a way this could hit the pocketbooks of the citizens of Mississippi. Clever ways to raise certain taxes to make these $375 million possible, such as raising the cost of license plates or even vehicle IDs, registration, several different things that could be done to find new ways to generate this fundage for these.
And the most obvious way is just, you know, and maybe this is the right time to try to do it while gasoline prices are so low, but the obvious way is to just increase the right now we pay about 18 cents per gallon in taxes for gas, and that 18 cents per gallon is essentially what funds our Department of Transportation now. And you know, experts say that, you know, when that was passed in 87, that was a sufficient amount of money, but now the money is not sufficient to do what the state needs to do, because while there's more cars on the highway and people driving more, the cars are much more energy efficient than they were in 87. So say you're getting a car that gets 25 miles per gallon and now, opposed to 12 miles per gallon in 87. So you know, that reduces the amount of the gas tax.
Right.
So they're talking about maybe making it a sales tax instead of a general excise or use tax.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things that factor into this. Just, I mean, timeline from 1987 to now, nearly 20 years later, or 30 years later, excuse me, you've got, roads only get worse over a time period. They don't get better on their own. So
right. And they say, while the Dick Hall, the Central District Transportation Commissioner, said he could produce a study that shows why the gas tax that funds the Department of Transportation has leveled out for over the past 10 years or so. Since 87, the cost of construction or maintenance for highways has gone up 400%. It's bad math for having a good transportation system. Right. Now, you know, the flip side of this is that at the same time, the legislature is being asked to raise taxes on the general public to fund the highway system and infrastructure system. Many of the same people who are advocating this, many of the business leaders also want a substantial tax cut for their businesses by eliminating what they call the franchise tax, which is a tax on a business's investments. It produces roughly $260 million a year in revenue. So the same people, a lot of the same people say we need to raise taxes on the general public for highways and infrastructure. Granted, they would be paying it too. I mean, Joe Frank Sanderson, who sort of headed this CEO of Sanderson Farms, who headed this Accelerate study, pointed out that, you know, he said, hey, you know, I got more trucks on the highways than just about any business in the state. So you raise the gasoline tax, it's going to affect my company as much as it affects anybody. But say any bank or most, you know, the gasoline tax would increase would, you know, not have a substantial effect on them. But if you reduce the eliminate franchise tax, that would have a very very real effect, positive effect on their bottom line. So some people would argue that by increasing the gasoline tax and eliminating the franchise tax, that would make our tax system, which already is one of the more regressive in the country, would make it even more regressive. So that's the flip side of this whole argument, and that's what the legislature is going to be looking at in 2016.
All right. Well, we'll have to look forward ourselves in 2016. Bobby Harrison, thanks for joining us.
All right. Merry Christmas.
You too, sir.
All right. Well.
All right. We thank Bobby for that information. Of course, you can read that story online at djournal.com, which is hosted by Thrive Marketing, which is our full-service digital marketing company located here in Tupelo, providing website, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local business. Find that online at thrive.ms.
Okay, we have Riley Manning here today to talk to us about the Angel Tree.
Howdy, howdy.
Is it distribution now?
The distribution happened. Friday. Okay. So the Angel Tree is over.
Okay.
The gifts are where they need to be.
Excellent.
With the families and just waiting on Christmas.
Kids to open them up.
Mm-hmm. I got to go out there for the distribution on Friday at the furniture market. It's always a pretty cool event because it's the only time you really get to see the faces of the people behind the profiles as they, you know, get their bikes and board games and Frozen memorabilia. And
probably lots of Frozen.
Lots of Frozen. Lots of things were different about the Angel Tree this year. For the past couple of years, they've had single item angels, which is like if you don't have that much money and you want to still contribute, but you can't afford like a full list, you can get one thing like
That's a really jacket.
Or a Frozen something or whatever. And that way, when people inevitably don't bring lists back or bring them back incomplete, they use those single item angel trees to kind of fill in the need there.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. And that's nice to have that option for somebody who's maybe interested in helping, but like you said, may not have like that much money for a bike or something.
Right,
you know?
Sure.
So,
And then this year there were only about 600 angels down from like previous years where it's been 900 or so.
Oh, wow.
But this year was the first time that recipients were required to take a budgeting class. That started back in the spring, and the social services director, Susan Gilbert, was really hoping that a lot of people would take it, and then by Christmas they would not need the Angel Tree service. And so I think that it wasn't quite as well attended as she had hoped, but I talked to a lot of people at the distribution who are Angel Tree recipients who said that the budgeting class had absolutely helped them
turn
things around. So
I think, I mean, I could use a budgeting class. I think that's a life skill that
there were a lot of grandmothers out there who were saying it was for their grandkids. And like one lady I talked to and quoted in the paper, she had 5 grandkids and 1 on the way.
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean, that's, and the fact of the matter is that no matter what your financial situation is, if you're a grandmama, you're going to make Christmas That's what she said. She was like, I'll go broke if I have to, but I'm glad I don't have to.
That's sweet. Well, another thing the Salvation Army is doing is the bell ringing. They have that going on up until Christmas Eve?
Through Christmas Eve. Okay. From what I understand, they're definitely in need for volunteers. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they pay someone $7 an hour to stand out there and ring them. And that's just money out of people who need it. Pocket or the Army's pocket. And so you can sign up in like hourly shifts. It's a really cool thing to do. Lots of families do it. Lots of offices do it as a group. So, I mean, there's plenty of ways to make it fun. I'm sure you've seen people around town kind of singing or.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's just, so friendly and nice when I walk by.
And, you know, especially that those donations hold them over through the new year because there's just kind of this big rush of donations to the holidays. And then people are tapped out from Christmas and whatnot. So usually January and February are pretty rough on charities and nonprofits and things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, awesome. Thanks for coming in today, Riley. I appreciate it.
No problem.
So the Daily Journal is inviting filmmakers to participate in its new Entertain Us movie contest. The contest is open to anyone, and video submissions can run from 1 second to 5 minutes. It can be shot on an iPhone, a camcorder, or any other device. Videos will go head-to-head in a bracket-style competition, and viewers will vote for their favorites. Participants should upload their video to YouTube and email the link to entertainus@journalinc.com. Registration is now open and will continue until 11:59 p.m. on January 20th, 2016. There is no registration fee. The ultimate Entertain Us winner will get a personalized director's chair and a director's slate. The winner is expected to be crowned around Oscars weekend. Perfect timing.
Good deal. All right. Well, with Brad out, we didn't talk about Brad being out, but obviously Brad's out of Florence.
On vacation. Here. Yep.
you pitiful people.
Before I did. I mean, I'm going to be on vacation in a couple days, too. Yeah.
Stay here and work like the rest of us, maybe.
I stayed here and worked over Thanksgiving.
So. Well, we got crime reports to talk about. Brad sent us a few in his absence. Well, let's dive right into those because it is Monday. The manager of a Fair Park restaurant, well, there's not many of those. Take your guesses on which one this is, said a man had two beers and a steak dinner and left without paying. He said that the suspect might have run upstairs to the rooftop to the adjoining building. The officer found the man on the second floor, lying in a corner, sleeping. He was arrested and taken to jail. I've needed a nap after a steak before.
And two beers?
I've needed a nap after a steak before.
A South Green Street man said when he returned to his apartment after paying the rent, there was an unknown black couple in his kitchen. The female was holding two medicine bottles, and the man was holding a chicken. The tenant said he took back his items and made the people leave.
And that, then, you know.
Then apparently called the police.
That'll happen.
Yeah.
My apartment in college was sometimes confused with the grocery store.
Yeah. People the chicken.
Randomly came in, thought it was the pharmacy, and got a chicken. Yeah. Well, we read crime reports on Mondays, so join us again next Monday. Mm-hmm. Brad won't be back again, but maybe we'll have a few winners.
No, I think maybe we can promote now, too. I think Monday is just going to be an abbreviated show. We're not going to have a show on Thursday, Christmas Eve. We will have a show on Monday, but I think it's mostly just going to be a quick. We're going to go through the top news of the year and kind of look back on some of the big stories we covered over the year and be back in our regular format on Wednesday. And we'll be out this Wednesday, too.
Yep. So we'll have that to look forward to. Coming down the pipeline.
Excellent.
Without Lauren, because she's going to go away and leave us.
To Michigan.
That's fine.
The best state in the union.
That's fine. Sorry, everyone. That's fine.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we'll be back Wednesday either way with a brand new episode. It may just be me here, and that's fine. I'll do it. One man show. I'll do it with Podgator. He got loud. That's louder than I expected him to be, and sorry. You can check us out online at memo.djournal.com. Also, you can email us memo@journalinc.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're on iTunes, and we're on the Twitter at djournalmemo.
The Twitter.
I like to say the Twitter mm-hmm. and the Facebook yeah. and the Walmart mm-hmm. and the Kroger.
And the Instagram.
And the Instagram. And the Larnwood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, we're on Twitter at DJournalMemo, and all the news we talked about today you can find in your daily journal or online at DJournal.com. We will be back again on Wednesday with a brand new episode.
Bye.